You're listening to 98.7, Your Story Counts with Nan and Simone. And we're heading for a top of 12 degrees. Nice and sunny today, Nanette.
Phew, it is. It's beautiful down here in Mornington, isn't it?
Yes. Good morning, listeners. We've got a jam-packed show today.
We have full house.
It is. Yeah. And before we start, we want to thank everyone who's, you know, downloading our podcasts.
It's yeah.
getting quite a good traction now.
Yeah, we upload following. So you can download.
That's right. So one of our guests who have come on before, on our show before, which is Karen Livingstone, she's got a workshop coming up and we thought we'll just give it a quick plug. So if you're interested in knowing more about DNA or glutathione, you can go to Mount Eliza to actually find out. It's the venue's at Mount Eliza Country Club, 32 Old Mornington Road, Mount Eliza, Thursday the 13th of July, and doors open at 6:45. So fantastic. For a 7:15 start. So that's with Sue Barron and Karen Livingstone, the wellness the well activist.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Yeah, so what are you going to learn there, do you think? Just get to know yourself and how you can actually get to know your own DNA.
Well, just understanding DNA and how it has an impact on your health. Mm. So the more you know about yourself, the more you can help yourself. It's a preventative health approach. Mm. So it's for people that are unwell that want to get well and for people that, are really well and want to keep living well.
So and I guess it's also for people, isn't it, where, you know, their genetics have shown signs through their family that maybe there's some little glitches.
That's right.
And it's about saying, I don't want that.
Yeah. I've got a very challenged DNA profile. I'm not genetically blessed.
Yeah.
And that's blessed in other ways, but not genetics.
And that's why you created smart DNA.
Exactly. I had to do something. Exactly.
Fantastic. And we do appreciate all the, all the downloads. It's been amazing. And the beautiful guests that we've had on, they've all gone on to do incredible things.
I know. So we're creating magic here for people.
We really are. Every single person seems to have transformed into something. So,
exactly.
Lee Russell, she's also got her retreat up and running now.
Wow.
So that's really wonderful. We've also, Elizabeth had a great time last week.
Yeah.
She was hysterical and got some great feedback from her podcast. So it's all happening out there at the moment.
It is.
But anyway, we've got a great, incredible show.
Yep.
We have the gorgeous, infectious, hilarious Lisa Whitney.
Yes, looking forward to her story.
Yeah, she's a fellow kinesiologist. So, of course, I'm loving this because we can talk kinesiology together.
We can talk shop.
And also, maybe some people might understand exactly what kinesiology is.
Yeah.
That might be do we know what kinesiology is? Anyway.
I'll be the judge of that. I'll judge that, okay? I'll give you out of 10.
Yeah, and then, probably about around 10:25, we're going to have the amazing Max on
live.
I know. She is going to sing here.
She's in
for
the studio.
Real. She is here. So it's going to be fantastic. But we can't start, if anyone knows Lisa, we can't start a Lisa show without Red Hot Chili Peppers scar tissue. Here we go.
Scar tissue, Red Hot Chili Peppers. You're listening to RPP 98.7, Your Story Counts with Nan and Simone. And we're heading for a top of 12 degrees.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Oh, good morning, girls. Thanks for having me.
Welcome.
I'm
very excited.
Yeah,
now, lay down on the couch and tell your story.
That's right.
You want to hear my story.
That's right.
Wow. Where do I start? Where shall I start?
Sagittarius.
And you're a number 33. Do you know how powerful that is? That's the master number.
Yeah, 33.
What are you doing with your life? It's that's
incredible.
That's just huge.
We're lucky to be here with you.
Yeah. We should be bowing to the master.
That's right.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Careful, my head might.
Are you into numerology or?
I am actually. Okay. I'd like to explore it more.
We'll read it more because that's a powerful number.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, so you grew up in, you started in Black Rock. We were just talking and we just realised that we probably knew each other.
I know.
We were probably at Half Moon Bay together.
Probably.
Yeah. And we
swimming
just didn't
out
know
to
it.
The Cerberus.
And do you remember every weekend someone would have to get stitches.
Yes.
Because we'd all climb up and it was really rusty back then.
Yep. Or rescued.
And rescued.
Yep.
Did you have your little floaties on?
I was down there with floaties.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
remember
sure.
The ones that you used to put on your arms?
Yeah, when I was really little, when I was four, sure. I love my floaties.
And so did I.
Let's just take me back to a moment.
Just don't put them on around your ankles.
No, good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, not a good idea.
Yeah, I've heard about that. About you.
Don't do that.
Your floaties.
Don't do
that. Yeah, not a good look. You still do that? Well, you've stopped doing that.
I've stopped doing.
Did you get help around that? Sorry.
I learned the hard way, let's just say. I'm really that's one of the good that's something I'm really good at.
Yeah, same.
Learning the hard way.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I'm hearing you.
Yeah, so basically, you know, like I said, grew up in Black Rock and then went to Ballarat at 4, but came back because there was just no water.
Why would you go to Ballarat when you can
live by the beach?
Ballarat's cold.
Mm. It's a beautiful place, though, for people that live in Ballarat.
That's right, for Ballarat listeners.
We love the country people.
But we do.
We're just peninsula-type coastal girls.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, love the coast, love the coastline. So we moved back to Mentone when I started prep. I have to say, I had a pretty normal childhood.
Is that possible? That's really...
Yeah, I had a normal childhood, but I wouldn't say I was normal. Well,
yeah, we get that. Yeah,
I didn't feel normal.
I might have come across as normal, but I didn't feel normal. I probably hid it really well. So, yeah, I'm the eldest of three.
Yeah,
right.
Big responsibility.
Big responsibility. Mm. Life was very serious for me, I think. Yeah. I took life very seriously. Mm. I took my role as the eldest very seriously, a deep thinker, a worrier, OCD a little bit. You know, I was one of those kids that lined the teddies on my bed, biggest to smallest.
Right. My mum would have loved to have had you.
Yeah. Did you keep your room tidy and everything?
Yep. I shared a room with my sister, who's very creative. And sharing a room with her, I found challenging because she was messy. Mm-hmm. She was messy. So we did have the full-on sticky tape down the centre of the room.
I remember we used to do that back then. Yeah. I do remember that.
Yeah.
Did it work? Was it useful?
Yes, it was actually because she was not allowed to have 1 inch of anything, not a sock, nothing over that bit of sticky tape.
Yeah, fantastic.
But, yeah, so life was very serious for me. I was very shy.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe that.
I know. Very shy. So kind of was normal school. Yeah, I can't say anything drastic or anything, you know.
Mentoring until hung out with your friends.
Yeah, until.
Wait for it.
I'm waiting.
Here we go.
At 19, fell pregnant.
Gosh.
I know. Big shock.
But you fell in love.
I fell in love. I fell madly in love to a boy.
Yeah.
And.
That's handy.
Just wanted to clarify that.
Handy when you're wanting to get pregnant.
Kind of works out.
That's a burden to bees. I don't know whether it's been explained to you. Or
well, maybe it hadn't been explained well enough.
No, clearly.
Yeah, IVF wasn't so effective back then.
So I did fall pregnant. And I think because of society was very.
Harsh.
Yeah. I was very ashamed, felt very guilty about the whole thing, and it was kept a complete secret.
Wow.
Nobody knew except my immediate family.
So did you have to, like, wear big clothes or something to cover it?
Well, I didn't actually. It wasn't a big pregnancy.
No, you wouldn't. You don't look like you would have.
I hid it really well. And the only people that knew were my mum, dad, brother and sister and 4 or 5 of my closest friends. And I just thought, you know, I was 19, probably had the mentality of a 13-year-old and just thought, oh, you know, once I have this baby, it'll just go away and I'll just go on living my life.
They don't go away.
They stay and they stay until their 20s. Yeah. It's scary.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
There is no finishing.
The time came when I had to give birth, didn't I? So
that watermelon.
That would be a problem.
That's a reality check.
I remember this. It was a pretty, you know, you remember it. You remember every detail. And it wasn't as bad as what I thought it was going to be. It was quite an easy, straightforward textbook birth.
Yeah.
I do remember leaving my body at some stage and actually watching myself.
Wow.
That was just for a few seconds. For sure. It was pretty wild. But I remember them handing me this child and this child looking me straight in the eyes, straight in the eyes and said,
"We're doing
this." Didn't say, but I got the feeling
with you.
He was saying, "Oi, we're doing this together. We're in this together.
Yep.
Yeah.
There is no turning back.
That's
now.
It. And then you fall in love.
Mm. And you fall in love. Mm. Again.
Yes. In a different way.
Yes, in a different way. In a
much deeper way.
Yeah.
So I, when I brought this baby home, I had nothing because I wasn't prepared. Or didn't think.
Well, you
that
can
I
never
was...
be prepared for your first one.
No. And then, of course, we had to break the news to everybody.
Oh. Ta-da!
Hi.
It's amazing.
Yeah, so I bought a baby on the weekend.
Supermarket in aisle six.
That's what my mum used to say. Whenever I was bad, she'd say, I'm taking you back to Southland.
Where I got you from.
Yeah. So I get that.
Yeah.
But anyway, and so you must have been very neat then. For people not to really know. Like you didn't have a big tummy.
Yes, I didn't show at all. In fact, a lot of friends said, but we saw you probably like a week or two before you would have given birth. How?
Yeah, at a nightclub dancing. Like,
yeah.
Just kidding.
She probably was.
I probably said I was going away on holiday the last 2 weeks or something and just hit it home for a little bit. But to my surprise, I got so much love and support from all, you know, friends and family.
And your parents were really supportive?
They were fantastic.
That's great.
You know, it was a shock to everyone. Mm. It was. Of course it was. Because, I was the good girl at school and I was responsible.
Yeah, for sure.
And things like that don't happen to people like me. So, you know, that happened to the bad girls at school, not me.
Yeah.
So, yes, and so I had Joel.
Mm.
I wonder if Joel will mind me saying his name.
Mm. Well, it's too late now.
Too late. Sorry, Joel.
Beep. Anyway. Beep.
But when you were younger, though, did you? What did you want to be when you grew up? Did you want to, like, were you keen on having kids?
No
kids
idea.
That sort of thing? Did you play with dolls and be a mummy and all those
things? Yeah, I did. I think I wanted to be something like a librarian.
That's a shame. I'm glad you didn't do that. It's so not in your personality.
Can you imagine?
No.
Can you imagine we're in a library?
It would be a rocking library. It would be hilarious.
Imagine how neat all the books would have been.
Oh, perfect. Oh, yes. You would have had that perfect.
And all the stories.
Yeah.
All the stories.
Which is a kinesiologist.
Yes.
Listening to all the stories.
Absolutely. So it makes sense in a way.
You sort of are a librarian in your own way.
And get lost in books. My imagination's pretty wild. But Joel was the perfect baby. He made life very easy for me and I did get a lot of love and support and people were like, why didn't you tell us? You should have told us, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, I think back then it's more accepted now. Back then to be a single, young, unmarried mother, there wasn't.
What was the magic about that? What were the moments when you went, you know what, although this is hard, you know, this is so worth it?
Oh, look, kids, when you fall in love with your child, I mean, there's days you just want to kill them.
Yeah.
But it's like just
and lock all the doors.
Yes, just in time.
Yeah, that love kicks in, that unconditional love.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, isn't it? And...
Mm.
He did give me unconditional love. Like your kids look at you like you are magic.
And the father, what happened to the father?
So Joel's dad was, and his family were always supportive as well, stuck by me. Joel and his dad are still in contact.
That's
they
fantastic.
Get along really well. It was all, it all ended up very happily ever after.
What a great story.
So that's the first section of your story. And then we get into the real fun stuff.
The funky stuff.
Yeah, the funky stuff. You know, when I guess Joel was a little bit older and that's when it all started to happen. So we want to get into that, but first we're going to have some community announcements.
That's right.
But straight after that, we have the amazing Max on coming on. She's going to sing two songs for us. So
live.
Yes, live right here on RPP, Your Story Counts. So let's get started with the community announcements and then we've got Max on.
You're listening to RPP 98.7, Your Story Counts with Nan and Simone. And in the studio, we have Max on and she's going to be singing No Impersonator. Welcome, Max, on.
Thank you. Thanks for having us again.
I'm really looking forward to it. So we're ready to go. Yes, let's hear it.
Here we go.
How blessed are we to have Max on. Oh, that was beautiful.
Thank
no impersonator.
Still got my morning voice going on.
I would love... that morning voice. Yeah, where can I get that? Now, you're going to be singing Summer No.
Yeah, this is a new one actually written by my partner Naomi. She's here with us, but she's being quiet in the corner over there. Sorry, I mentioned her and I'm not supposed to. Let's go for it, Em.
No, from Maxon. How beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. What a beautiful voice. Just stunning. So now you're going to be at the Paris Cat Jazz Club.
Tomorrow. Yes. Oh, my gosh, it's tomorrow. Yes, we're launching No Impersonator tomorrow night at Paris Cat in Melbourne.
Wow, that's so exciting.
Very, very exciting. Very, very scary exciting.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I think we'll have to get you on every week. What do you think? So, okay. So next we're going to be talking again to Lisa Whitney, kinesiologist extraordinaire. So thank you very much again, Maxon.
Thank you
for sharing.
Well, we're back.
You're back. You're on RPP 98.7. Your story counts with Nan and Simone. And in the studio, we're continuing our story with Lisa Whitney. Welcome.
I'm back.
You're back.
Yes. So the story starts to get a bit more interesting.
Yes, can't wait.
Doesn't it? So, yes. So I'm a single mum with a child, early 20s. And this is when probably my journey with anxiety started.
Right.
Very exciting stuff, anxiety. I started having anxiety and panic attacks, severe ones. They sort of appeared out of the blue. Mm-hmm. Out of nowhere, and really, really crippling, really debilitating to the point where I couldn't leave home, I didn't want to see my friends. You know, when I look back now, I think, God, how did I even operate as a mother? I think I was in the twilight zone a little bit. And I have to say, it was almost like I had been drugged. Wow. It was almost like I felt like I'd been possessed. Mm. In a sense, because I couldn't control my thoughts. Mm. And I wasn't on drugs. I wasn't a drinker. So I was miffed as to why this was happening to me. Mm. And I remember having a point in time thinking, if I can feel this low, if I can feel so bad, surely I can feel the complete opposite and feel naturally on high.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so what can I do about this? So I was looking for solutions because it was just the most awful, awful feeling. A feeling of dread, a feeling of something bad's going to happen, but I didn't know what was going to happen. And it was almost like my brain decided, well, we don't know why we're feeling like this, so we'll create something for you. And that's when your imagination kicks in. Oh, I've got a headache, must be a brain tumour.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of hypochondriac type thing. I remember going to the doctors and they said, oh, yes, it's anxiety. We'll give you some medication for that. And I just didn't want to go down that road. I just, I thought there's got to be something else. Yeah. You know, that's good and well, but I want to find out why it's happening.
Yeah.
And that's when I was introduced to kinesiology. And I was just blown away by the process.
So how old were you then?
I think I was about 24, 25.
Yeah, 24, 25. Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
And kinesiology would have been pretty embryonic back then.
Oh.
Hey? Not that it was that long ago.
No.
But,
no.
You know.
That's right.
You know.
Yesterday.
In dog
years. Couple of years ago.
Yeah, in dog years.
Yeah, in dog years, that's right.
Yeah, it was pretty – I'd never heard of it. I hadn't actually heard of energy work of any kind, really. I knew about meditation and all of that sort of thing, but I'd never heard of kinesiology.
Can you remember who you saw back then?
I do. Mm. I do. Am I allowed to say her name?
Oh, absolutely.
So Jenny Wadsworth, her name was.
Okay, yes. Mm. Yeah. Heard of her for sure.
Yeah, so she was down on the peninsula.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was just floored.
Mm. Mm.
Floored. My body was talking to her.
Yeah.
Without me having to say words.
Yeah, I love that.
Which is not.
Which is difficult.
Which is very. For me, it's.
That's right. For
me, it's very difficult. Right. Yeah. So I didn't even really have to say anything. She made me move my eyes in different directions and my muscles started doing funny things. And I was just blown away. Mm. And so kinesiology helped me to realize what the triggers were to my anxiety.
Mm.
And my body was telling her and me what the triggers were, but then my body also told me what I needed to help calm this anxiety and help release it. I'm not going to say it cured me at all, because I still have moments of anxiety, but I know what my triggers are now, and I know what I've got so many tools to help me ride yeah, through for it.
Sure. And that's that knowledge is power, isn't it? If you understand yourself, you know how to remedy it.
Absolutely. And when I know what my body's doing and why it's doing, when I'm having that anxiety attack, it kind of makes the process a little bit easier.
Yeah.
You know, and I know it's not going to last forever. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's just going to be for this temporary moment. Okay, this is how I feel.
Mm-hmm. Acknowledge it.
This is the trigger. Mm-hmm. Calm down, relax, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and I love affirmations and all of those sorts of things, but when you are in the middle of an anxiety attack, no amount of I love myself, the angels are with me, I'm beautiful.
It's going to work.
I'm safe.
It's not going to cut it, is it?
It's not going to cut it. Yeah. Because well, for me, I think it was something chemical going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for me, it is diet. Diet is a trigger for me.
For sure.
Belief systems in my body, you know, my body for, or my brain for whatever reason, didn't feel safe in my body. Mm. And so there are moments in our life that the brain stores and remembers it, and then later on in life goes, oh, I remember this scenario.
Or past life or anything could be.
Yeah, that's right. And how far back do we want to go?
Absolutely.
But it's so true, isn't it? I mean, we all know that, like, if you're in a car accident, do you know what I mean? That red car, you know, comes from nowhere and you were doing everything right. You were going through a green light and someone else goes through a red light, you know, and so it's not expected. It's not something you can preempt.
Mm. No.
And then it's affected your life and it's shunted you onto a different path.
Yeah.
Of course, your amygdala will always look out for that red car.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's the difficult part is, you know, that moment in time is gone, but your body is still thinking, oh, my God, it could happen again. It's designed, particularly your left brain, is totally designed to remember those sort of things.
That's right. And perception, everyone's perception is so different too. So for me, one of my triggers is hospitals and doctors because when I fell pregnant,
that's right.
You know, I received the worst news for me at that time was you're pregnant.
Yeah. So you associated, you had association.
Yes. Yeah. My association with doctors is they only give you bad news. Mm. Whereas for some people, being told you're pregnant is the most wonderful exciting news.
Yes. Yeah. So they love doctors and hospitals.
And the hospitals and doctors are for sick people. But, you know, I needed to learn to flip that around and go, but it's also a place of healing where people can go to get better and get help.
So in a way, that moment was a bit of a car crash for you in a way, was it? In terms of your system and your amygdala, it was that moment where this doesn't happen to me. This wasn't my path. I hadn't kind of planned on this.
I hadn't planned on this. Mm. I hadn't even planned on being in this body, quite frankly.
Yeah, that's right. That's
another story. That's another story for another show maybe.
We'd love to bring that in.
That got me on the path of I just wanted to feel good. I just wanted to feel good and did whatever it took.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so
Did that get you back on track?
It absolutely did get me back on track because I was so desperate to feel good. It motivated me to look after myself a lot better.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though I still get anxiety occasionally, nowhere near or to the degree that I used to, I almost thank it sometimes now.
Well, it's a gift,
it says,
in a way.
Get back on track. You're running off track, get back on track.
Mm. But what you've been through is a gift in a way because it's led you to where you are today.
Yeah.
So it's never a negative thing at the end of the day. It's always, you can't have a negative without a positive.
Exactly. Well, it's about balance,
science,
isn't it?
It's actually science.
Do you think that motivated you, that event, to become a kinesiologist?
Yeah, but not for a few years.
That's right.
Later, it took me a while.
A good decade or so.
Yeah, I was afraid of risks. Afraid of risks.
The hard
You're
road.
So funny when you talk about this, though. It's like kinesiology worked too well for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Because when you told me about the story of how you met your husband,
yes,
there was a lot of confidence in that.
There was. So, yeah, that's an interesting story, isn't it? Am I going
to
tell it?
Yeah. Well, only if you'd like to.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Okay. And I probably should put a warning out there to any young people listening. Yes. Don't do it this way.
Don't do it how Lisa did it.
Don't do it how I did it.
Maybe that could be the title of your book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I really love the saying, just do it.
Yeah. But yours is just don't do it.
With a clause.
Yeah, with a few bit of fine print.
Hey, this is
underneath.
A love story though, you know.
Yeah, yeah,
love
it is.
Love can conquer all things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's how I like to see it.
So anyway, basically you
right,
were
so
in
Right, so I'd been, yeah, I had, look, I fall in love very easily too. Mm. Very easy. I just fall in love with people. People are fascinating.
I know what you mean.
That's a sadgy.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Is it a sadge thing?
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so you kind of...
So right, so yes, I... Okay. Right, where do we start? Okay, so I'd been out with some girlfriends. Mm-hmm. I'd been to a dress-up party. We had to dress up in 50s, 60s style. So I had the full beehive hair going and this little...
Oh, really?
Yeah, mini mod dress, go-go boots.
Right.
Looking pretty spunky-licious.
That would have been the Bardo era.
Mm.
Yeah. She would have been right there with all that.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And... I wasn't a drinker. I wasn't a drinker, so I was always driving. I was driving home by myself, and
that was handy.
Yeah.
Driving.
Yeah. I was driving past the station and saw this guy standing on the side of the road.
As you do.
And you thought, he's a bit spunky.
Oh, actually, I don't think my parents know this story. I could get grounded when I get home.
I reckon just for a couple of years, actually.
Your inner child might get grounded.
Yeah. The inner child get grounded. Yeah. Mind you, I have to say, Joel played junior footy. And so I had seen this guy playing senior footy. So we had sort of...
It wasn't a total stranger on the
side
of the road.
Wasn't a total stranger on the side of the road. We had seen each other. Anyway, I thought, oh, that's that guy from the footy club. Kept driving home, got out of my car, got to the front door, and then, wait for it, not joking, an alien possessed me, made me get back in that car and drive back.
Right. Did you see the flying saucer?
I didn't, but that's my only excuse I can come up with. Right. It wasn't me
doing it. So you don't want to take any responsibility for this act?
No, so that's where the left...
It was the aliens.
I can blame aliens on a lot of things. It's great.
I don't mind.
Yeah.
But
that's
where the left-right brain was in conflict then.
Of course.
Because part of me was going, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? Your mother's going to kill you if she finds this out.
That'd be the left brain.
Yeah. And the right brain's going, oh, but look at him. He's so cute.
And I'm an adult, so
and
I can
I'm
do this.
I'm a grown up and I can do whatever I like. Yes. So anyway, I pull up alongside him, wind down the window, flutter my eyelids, go, hello. And he said, hi, I know your face. And I said, yeah, I know your face. Do you need a lift somewhere? And he said, oh, thank God, that would be... fantastic. I've been standing here waiting for a taxi for ages. So he gets in the back seat of the car. And I'm like, what? Oh, God, what have I done?
Well, you're an Uber. You're ahead of your time.
Well, I know.
That's right.
You're a mummy Uber. You're a Moober.
Yes. So he got in the back seat of the car, and then a couple of his friends all came out of bushes and jumped in the car, and I thought, oh, I'm done for.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
That's the part that we just don't do.
Mm. Don't do that, people. Don't do that.
But it worked for you.
Yes. And but it worked for me at the time because they all recognised me as well. They all said, oh, we've seen you down at the footy club with your little boy.
Yeah, you would stand out, I reckon.
Really? Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The yummy mummy at the footy.
Yeah, that term was used a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
So, yes, drove them. They were going to Transformers in Moorabbin. A few of my friends might... know that
yes,
name.
I remember that.
Do you know that one, Simone?
Yeah, always used to have queue up. It was always a long queue.
Yeah. Drove them to Transformers. They said, come in with us. And I said, I can't. I'm not dressed for the occasion. They all went in. I drove home. The alien had left me by that time. That's good. Yeah, drove Thank home. But then it entered me again because I changed out of that outfit, threw jeans and a t-shirt on, and drove back, Simone.
Oh, no.
Drove back, lined up for about half an hour.
That is a big pull.
Yeah.
The unstoppable force.
Yeah.
Were you feeling something for him at this point? Was it that feeling, or was it the alien that was driving you?
It was totally the alien driving
me. Right, okay. We'll have to talk about this later.
Yeah.
Okay.
The white coats will be coming in the door shortly. To collect you. Yes. I'll protect you though.
Yeah. So I drove back to Transformers, lined up for about half an hour with all the teeny boppers because I was about 28.
Yeah, 28.
Yeah, that was old.
7 year cycle. That's she was old. Ready for a next cycle.
I was old.
Mm. You're ready for a new love at that point.
Yeah. And probably paid like $25 to get into the
place. Gee, it was worth it though. Sounds like it.
Yeah.
On some days.
On some days. Most days.
Didn't he shout you?
Yeah, not to get in.
Well, but that was a bit.
I got in there and, of course, it's dark. The doof-doof music's playing. Yeah. Can't see him anywhere. And I'm like, well, what are you doing, you silly girl?
Yeah.
And then there was a tap on my shoulder. Turned around and there he was with a drink saying, I was hoping you'd come back.
Uh-huh.
And then a couple.
How nice. What sort of drink did he give you?
That's exactly the question I asked.
Yeah, I think it was bourbon and Coke.
Now, nowadays, people, you would not accept a drink from a man, an open drink, just in case.
Yeah, but back then,
it was fun. They didn't have that drug back then.
Yeah.
But not now.
Not these days.
No. See, you've got a book in you. Though, that he was there and he was so happy that you came
He'd
back.
Probably actually bought the drink for one of his mates.
No, he didn't. He bought it for you.
Did he?
Yeah, he thought you were thanks, all right.
That makes me feel better.
Yeah. No, he does.
Such a romantic. Yeah.
So he did take my number. Do you want to get with me? You know, I probably said, do you want to get with me?
Because there was no mobiles back then, just so everyone knows.
No, there wasn't.
It was a phone on the wall with a cord.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you would have had in the olden days.
Did you write on his hand or a piece of paper?
I wrote on a piece of paper.
Did you? Yeah. Gave it to him. Said, right, I'm off.
Yep. And a couple of nights later, he came around and cooked Joel and I dinner. And
how sweet.
Yeah, didn't leave.
Wow, so he just moved in. He had the U-Haul ready.
Yeah, it just kind of happened. So. And then I remember having to tell my parents I'd met someone and my dad saying, has he got long hair and tats? And I had to say, yes. But that's okay. They liked him.
Yeah. Well, it's right in now, tats.
Yes, yeah, so again, you guys were way
ahead. You know, you're way ahead of your time.
I know.
Yeah.
Trendsetters.
So now how long have you guys been married now? Like you've been together a long time.
You should know, don't you celebrate?
How old am I? I'm just trying to think how old.
Five?
Five plus. Okay, this is what I tell people. 30-17. Work that one out,
yeah,
people.
30-17.
I get that.
30-17.
Okay, 47 then. Yeah. I can add. Wait. Well, I'm a bit older than you. I'm 49, so you know.
Really?
You can say that.
Yeah, I'm a bit older.
So you're 30-19.
Yeah.
Exactly. That sounds older.
It does.
Sorry.
I don't like that.
I think
does it? Yeah, that sounds so old.
What about when you turn 40-10?
Oh, that sounds worse.
Or 30-20.
Can we stop now?
Okay. So, yeah. So then probably around 40, that's when I decided this is it. The kit might – Brad and I had two – kids?
Yeah, that's right.
You popped out another couple?
Popped out another couple. Just, you know, you just sneeze you and out they come. and then at age 40, that's when I went, something's missing.
Something's missing in your life.
Yeah, I do get bored.
Yeah.
I want something exciting. You know, I'm fascinated with aliens and energy and vibration and all of those sorts of things, but I didn't know where you start with a career with that, with aliens. No. So I saw an ad in the newspaper to do a kinesiology course and just went, I did
that. See, it was a sign.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do
it. How exciting.
And then it took it from there.
All right, well, let's play one of your songs that you wanted to play, just a short moment, because I want to hear more.
Yeah.
Salt water.
This
is something
I've done. I love this song. It is a bit doof doofy, people. It is a bit of a doof doof song, but it just takes me places.
Yeah, we like that.
Yeah.
You're listening to RPP 98.7, Your Story Counts, with Nan and Simone. And we have the rest of the story with Lisa Whitney, which we're looking forward to hearing.
Which was entertaining us so much, yes. We nearly forgot to put the buttons back on.
I know. I haven't even got my headphones. I probably look. Not that anyone can look from listening. But yeah. Anyway, I just. Well,
yeah, if you could see, you would be in hysterics right now.
I did have to tone that story down a lot, actually.
Yeah.
I know.
Keep
we got the real story afterwards.
The uncensored version.
Yeah.
So, kinesiology.
Oh.
Wow. And this is your thing. You've been doing this for a number of years now.
Yeah. So I probably didn't start taking clients till a few years ago. Had to build up the confidence and the courage to do that. But it still amazes me. But, you know, when I see clients and I see what their bodies are doing and how they respond, I think I get more excited than the clients do sometimes. I'm like,
for sure.
How does this happen?
What just happened?
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll even re-muscle test and go, yep, that's
100%.
It's 100%. It's crazy balls. It really, I just think it's so amazing.
Well, what a gift you have.
For people who don't exactly know what kinesiology is, do you feel like trying to give it a definition?
Oh, okay. I have to use very simple terms for myself as well. So I use kinesiology as a tool to find out where there's stress being held in the body, what has potentially created that stress, and what's going to help release that stress. Mm. And that tool is a process called muscle testing, where we isolate a muscle on the body, usually the arm, and just apply light pressure. It's not even about finding out how strong the person is. And there is a science behind it. I love showing the science behind kinesiology works. You know, when you place a food or an item on the body, and sometimes the muscles can hold strong and sometimes it weakens the body.
It's like a neurological connection, isn't it? It kind of has this lock and unlock. So you can ask the body anything. That particular person, that unique person, how their body ticks, and the muscle test will tell you.
Absolutely.
And whether that is intolerances to foods, as in, you know, whether that doesn't mean it's allergy.
No.
It means you can find out exactly what foods actually harmonize your system and what foods can totally take you out of whack. And synthetic drugs as well.
Yeah, you can do it with supplements and how many to take.
Yeah. You can do it with wine.
Yeah. Can I have that tested?
Things like that. So you can work out which wines
and
actually
food?
Work nicely. And that's right.
Yeah.
Whether you can have a coffee in a particular day.
That's right. And what time
you can have it.
I think everyone needs this in their home. We need to have kinesiologists in every home.
Do you know what? It's a wonderful thing for a mum to learn. In terms of.
And I love doing it to my kids too, because I can, you know, when you're having those arguments with them about.
Come over here now.
Yes, about, you know, trying to convince them that that's really not good for you. You know, I just have to put the mobile devices and those sorts of things on their body, and look how all your muscles are weakening and all of that sort of thing. So it's just it's just still fascinating.
I mainly deal with the emotional side of things, and I think you do too.
Yeah.
And it is fascinating, isn't it, how you can muscle test up and find a particular stress and then muscle test up as to when that stress started.
Exactly.
So by doing that, you can find out what time, like what particular age a particular thing happened. And often you've forgotten, you know, we don't remember everything that went on in our childhood or in our life.
Or you block it out.
You might even have blocked it totally out, but also it's just a memory that you didn't think it was that significant, but actually your body has found it quite significant.
Your body has found it quite significant. And I think the other thing too is you don't always have to have known either.
Right.
The body just tells you, okay, something happened around this age. Now what does the body want to do to help release that? And so that, you know, that's where changing your belief systems around certain things. And like we were talking about before, when those triggers happen, or, you know, if I was to have another anxiety attack, I can actually muscle test myself to go, okay, is there something chemically going on in me? Is there, you know, what do I need to tidy up? We're like onions. We're peeling back the layers of an onion to get to the root cause of that.
Issue. And it's a fascinating journey, isn't it, to go down the different rabbit holes with different people in their story and honour their story.
And you can have five different people come in with the same issue, but they all need different things. Because what's going to work for one client is not going to be right for the next client. So you know, I could have five clients come in all with anxiety and it'll be all for different reasons.
And do you find that because you've gone through that anxiety that you've attracted a lot of clients that are going through anxiety?
Yeah, and I'm happy with that too because it helps me to I can identify with those people. And then I think they can also feel like, oh, she does understand.
She's been through it.
Yeah. And anxiety is one of those things, I think. It's hard to describe. You know, there is a stigma behind mental illness. And, it's just I'm very compassionate about towards people who are suffering.
Well, when you think about the nervous system,
and it
is like once you understand the body from an energy point of view, a nervous system, a chi point of view, you realize that like your nervous system operates at such a rate of knots. You know, it's like 100 meters in a second.
That's incredible.
So,
isn't it?
You know, and it was funny because we're going to have Debbie Flintoff King on the show in a couple of weeks.
Right.
And, you know, she won, you know, the Olympics and, you know, it was a sprint, 400 meter sprint and with hurdles. Now, she actually texted me today and she did it in 53.17 seconds.
Wow.
Gosh.
Yeah. And she beat the Russian girl by 53.18 of a second.
Right. So you get a neuron.
So, yeah, that's right.
I reckon I could do that running to the fridge.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. At 3 o'clock in the morning.
Hurdles. I can do hurdles.
But, you know, I mean, I'm just mucking around, but you think about that pace. We can't comprehend that kind of speed.
No.
That's happening, you know, all the time.
Yes. Mm. Our body's doing things that we're not even thinking about. Yeah. Like we're not thinking the whole time that our heart is beating.
This is a vehicle that's operating at a...
It's so amazing. It's so amazing. Mm. So amazing. And I think, you know, as a kid, that those were my thoughts constantly. How did we get here? Yeah. How are we even thinking?
Yeah, how are we sitting upright? How are we listening? How did the planet come about?
You know, it's quite a miracle that the planets are all aligned. If the Earth was any closer to the sun or any further away, we probably wouldn't even exist.
Mm. That's right.
So how did that even... How does that happen?
Big questions, aren't they?
They're big questions.
Mm.
Really big
And so
questions.
We're just little universes walking around, really, aren't we?
Within a big universe.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. Well, look, we are nearly out of time, would you believe?
That went
and
so fast.
I know. So we feel like we need to get you back in for part B. But we just want to say a massive thank you.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you. I think I was well behaved.
You were.
I was pretty well behaved.
I think you were. And Maxon, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Amazing.
We will be seeing you tomorrow night.